Hello and welcome to this BJS podcast. I'm Wendy Barnaby, and today we'll be discussing surgery for elderly people. That's the subject of a special supplement of the BJS, which will be free and online only and available in mid to late January 2016 on the BJS website. We'll be hearing from three of the contributors to the supplement: Drs. Baz Veenhoven from the Erasmus Medical Centre in Rotterdam, Professor Ricardo Audicio from the University of Liverpool and St. Helens Teaching Hospital, and Dr. Eric Hulzebos from the University Children's Hospital and Medical Centre in Utrecht. So let's start with you, Baz, if you wouldn't mind just setting the scene for us. Why is it important, do you think, to have a special issue on surgery in old people?
Yes, we as editors of BJS have decided to go for this topic, I think, for several reasons. One of them, I think, is that we all know that the number of and proportion of elderly people is growing worldwide. And I think that's a big something that we need to be aware of, and that will be so most of our patients will be elderly that we are confronted with as surgeons in the next decades. And I think the second reason also is that we choose this because surgery in the elderly is different in terms of type of operations and associated risks as well as outcomes. So you can imagine probably that the decision making whether or not to operate a patient that is old and frail is sometimes a very difficult decision that we have to take as surgeons, and also think about maybe outcomes in terms of quality of life instead of survival is becoming more increasingly important in these elderly. And I think these issues we'd like to address in the current BJS special issue on surgery in the elderly.
Well, thanks very much, Baz. And let's turn to Ricardo from the University of Liverpool. Ricardo, you've written an article about tailoring surgery for elderly people. What does tailoring mean exactly?
It is a delicate process where we try to understand what the patient wants and what he is, how fit it is. It entails assessing vulnerability and also understanding his needs or her needs in order to conform and satisfy precisely to the patient's request. It is just appropriate offering the right procedure for the right patient, which means not over-treating and to avoid under-treating as well. There are several examples. For example, total mesorectal excision, which is very fashionable and it's a splendid operation. It's not entirely suitable for all the patients. Pancreatectomy, when feasible, is the best option. Thoracoscopic surgery is probably better than open chest surgery. And still we have other areas where we do not have an answer. For example, I feel embarrassed in saying that as a breast surgeon, I don't exactly know whether it is better or not to offer axillary surgery to breast cancer elderly lady.
Well, this is one of the problems, isn't it, that you pointed out in your paper, that we don't actually have good data from clinical trials and so on to tell us how elderly people do in surgery. So how can we get more data, do you think?
I think the way forward is through a good quality population-based phase 3 trials. And we have the opportunity to take a snapshot assessing for frailty, and which is feasible, easy and cheap. It's not a perfect tool, but it allows us better understanding. And therefore, we offer the patients the treatment that we would deem appropriate. And over the months and years, we retrospectively look at the outcome so that we can compare, we can match the frailty assessment with the outcome, short-term and even better if long-term outcomes. We have a very good example. We are working on this through the surgical task force at SIOG, the Society of Geriatric Oncology, and we are ready to launch an investigation which is called GOSAFE and is specifically on this topic.
Ricardo, that's one thing going forward, one of the developments. I mean, another is in the treatment of cancer itself, there's a move towards less invasive and non-operative treatments. So how important do you think the surgeon is now in treating cancer in older people?
I think that surgeons have a huge responsibility. The frustrating Eurocare data showing reduced survival and cancer-specific survival for older patients across Europe, they should point to a surgical failure. It is true that medical oncologists, radiotherapists could do better, but the largest part of the responsibility is a surgical responsibility. So surgeons should be aware that they can do better, should be able to offer tailored treatment, should be able to detect, assess for frailty, and therefore offering targeted, personalized treatment.
Do you think, Ricardo, that actually the basic problem here is that society just doesn't treat old people equally?
Oh, this is a non-surgical issue, but I share this view entirely. There are ethical problems, there are social problems, there are financial issues, educational, everybody's involved, the media. Every individual layperson has a role to play with this. The role of older patients in our society is really minimized. He is not socially active, he is not pretty, he is demanding and costly. So, yes, you are perfectly right, unfortunately.
Well, thank you, Ricardo, very much indeed. And I want to turn next to Eric. Eric, your paper looks at prehabilitation, which you say changes the passive time on a waiting list for surgery into a period of empowerment. Empowerment for what exactly?
Yeah, then the goal of this prehabilitation is to improve the cardiorespiratory and musculoskeletal fitness of patients before the operation. And yeah, the goal is to make the physiological reserves much more better for that frail patients, thereby the adaptation to surgical stress and to enhance the speed of recovery, improving post-operative outcome after the surgery.
So you're getting them ready physically and psychologically for the surgery so that they'll do better during it and afterwards?
Yes. So the adaptation is much more and better, and also the physiological reserves for the surgical stress will become much more.
Now, you're at a children's hospital yourself, so that tells me that perhaps prehabilitation isn't just confined to elderly patients.
Yeah, at the moment there's only a lot of evidence in the frail elderly patients, but now I'm looking for in the children's hospital to look at sick children and frail children to look. It is also working in younger adults.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to ask you, actually, about the scientific evidence that prehabilitation improves outcomes. There is such evidence, is there?
Yeah. There's a recent writer, systematic review and meta-analysis about the effects of total body prehabilitation on post-operative outcome. And yeah, they conclude, or the authors concluded, that there's there is a lot of evidence that prehabilitation reduced the length of hospital stay, and there are a lot fewer post-operative pulmonary complications, and also provide the post-operative physical benefits. So it's reduced the decline in functional disability in patients who had done that prehabilitation program.
Just give me an idea of what the program involves. Is it mainly physical exercises or what?
Yeah, the main goal is exercise training, but also nutritional treatment is very important, and also the coping strategies is also included in that program.
Well, thanks, Eric, very much indeed. Lastly, let's come back to Baz again. Can you tell us briefly about the other highlights of the supplement?
Yes, I think the subject includes some beautiful studies about outcomes after surgical procedures in the elderly, including rectal cancer, also hepatobiliary diseases, as well as emergency general surgical conditions. And I think that these studies all show that the selection of patients is of importance, and again also stressing the need, I think, for risk assessment and preconditioning whenever possible, and shared decision making. And I think we all feel that surgery in the elderly needs a tailored approach, and also to improve outcomes is something that we really are after. One, I think, interesting paper also deals with the issues of transplantation in the elderly aging population for elderly donors that we are confronted with, as well as elderly recipients. And I think this is particular of interest to all transplant surgeons that are being confronted to these issues as well. And I think finally also there are some papers about how to assess the risk in these elderly patients. So papers talk about the measurement of, say, decreased physiological reserve of these patients. How can we assess that? And sarcopenia has become a very interesting concept as being measured by, for example, CT scanning and muscle wasting. And studies have shown that sarcopenia relates to outcome. So I think the whole issue contributes to all diverse aspects of surgery in the elderly. And I think it is really worthwhile reading it, and also for the general surgical, for the general surgeons, but also for the trainees. I think this issue will be very important.
Well, thanks, Baz. And just to recap, it's free, it's online only, and it'll be available in mid to late January 2016. And that's all we have time for. So thanks to all our speakers, and goodbye.